Ice Station, Shane Schofield, Book 1. Written by Matthew Riley and read by Sean Mangan. The hovercraft raced across the ice plain. It was painted white, which was unusual. Most Antarctic vehicles are painted bright orange for ease of visibility. And it sped across the vast expanse of snow with a surprising urgency. Nobody is ever in a hurry in Antarctica. Inside the speeding white hovercraft, Lieutenant Shane Schofield peered out through reinforced fiberglass windows. About 100 yards off his starboard bow, he could see a second hovercraft, also white, whipping across the flat, icy landscape. At 32, Schofield was young to be in command of a recon unit, but he had experience that belied his age. At 5'10", Schofield was lean and muscular, with a handsome, creased face and closely cropped black hair. At the moment, his black hair was covered by a camouflaged Kevlar helmet. A gray turtleneck collar protruded from beneath his shoulder plates, covering his neck. Fitted inside the folds of the turtleneck collar was a lightweight Kevlar plate, sniper protection. It was rumored that Shane Schofield had deep blue eyes, but this was a rumor that had never been confirmed. In fact, it was folklore at Parris Island, the legendary training camp for the United States Marine Corps, that no one below the rank of general had ever actually seen Schofield's eyes. He always kept them hidden behind a pair of reflective silver anti-flash glasses. His call sign added to the mystery, since it was common knowledge that it had been Brigadier General Norman W. McLean himself who had given Schofield his operational nickname, a nickname which many assumed had something to do with the young lieutenant's hidden eyes.
Whistler 1, do you copy?
Schofield picked up his radio.
Whistler 2, this is Whistler 1. What is it?
Sir.
The deep voice of Staff Sergeant Book Riley, was suddenly cut off by a wash of static. Over the past 24 hours, ionospheric conditions over continental Antarctica had rapidly deteriorated. The full force of a solar flare had kicked in, disrupting the entire electromagnetic spectrum and limiting radio contact to short-range UHF transmissions. Contact between hovercrafts 100 yards apart was difficult. Contact with Wilkes Ice Station, their destination, was impossible. The static faded, and Riley's voice came over the speaker again.
Sir, do you remember that moving contact we picked up about an hour ago?
Uh-huh, Schofield said.